Hi, Randy. I know you've been busy talking to interviewers all day long about various books, but thanks for your time.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Wayne.
This Courageous novel is something a little different for you in that you took the screenplay that Alex and Stephen wrote and made a novel out of it. Tell me how it came about.
Well, the Kendrick brothers asked me to write this novel based on the screenplay. I had once been asked to write a novel based on a screenplay, and then I had been told I had 30 days to do it in. And I said, nope, you're talking to the wrong guy, because I like to thoroughly research everything, and that doesn't even give you time to breathe.
30 days?
This time, this time I had 4 months. Now, that still, by my standards, is really a quick turnaround. That's certainly the quickest I've ever turned around a full-length novel, by far. It's usually more like a year, and sometimes more. But I took on the project because I believed in it. I saw an early edit of the Courageous movie. I believed that it was something that I wanted to get behind, and I thought it was a very good story, well told in the movie form, but also that could be expanded into a full-length novel. But, of course, it does take expansion because, you know, the screenplay that they gave me was a little less than 20,000 words, and an average novel length is a good 80,000 words, if not closer to 100,000. So I was going to have to come up with 4 to 5 times more for the novel than is in the movie.
But still, it had to be an honor to be asked to do it.
Well, it was an honor. I mean, I just really appreciated them coming to me and was very pleased. And I thought, I want to give this my absolute best effort, which I did. It was a challenging process. I had no illusions that it would be easy. I would say it was even harder than I thought it would be. My goal was to stay true to this movie, 100% true to it, but having to, by the very nature of things, to have 4 to 5 times more that's in it, I had to do more than just like take all the scenes in the movie and make them longer or something. That just doesn't work. I had to have basically 4 times as many scenes, 4 times as much conflict, 4 times as much humor. In other words, I had to take the things that make the movie, still be true to the movie, but in a way kind of reverse engineer it the way that you would where, you know, a screenplay most often is based on a novel. And so people who have, read the novel are often complaining because, oh, you cut out this character and you cut out that scene and that was my favorite part of the book, you know. But they have to cut stuff. They have to cut all kinds of stuff. The vast majority that's in the novel, they must cut in order to make for a couple-hour movie. Because a full-length novel would be a 10 to 12-hour movie, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
sure.
Even longer than the extended version of Lord of the Rings, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, that, you just can't do that. But what I did was I said, okay, suppose this had been extracted from a full-length novel, what might that novel have looked like? And then I'll bring my distinctive novel writing style and preferences and go from there.
Well, I want to assure everyone that we're not going to give away the plot of the movie or this book in our conversation here today. But I'm also assuming that people know about this movie-making church, Sherwood Baptist in Albany, Georgia. They started out making a little movie called Flywheel and then Facing the Giants and then Fireproof and now Courageous. All these movies have exceeded everyone's expectations and have made a deep impact on people spiritually around the country. When did you first become aware of what was going on at this church in Georgia?
Well, I think it was probably when I saw Facing the Giants. I hadn't seen Flywheel. I have seen it since. But I thought, boy, this is quite an ambitious project for a Baptist church in Albany, Georgia. You know, I hadn't heard of Albany, Georgia. You know, and so I thought, this is really pretty remarkable. Well, then when I saw Fireproof, which took it up, a couple of notches, I thought, wow, this is very impressive. And then when I saw the preliminary, the first cut that they showed me when they asked me to write the book of the Courageous movie, I can't believe how much better they have gotten in the storytelling, the technical aspects of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went and visited with the Kendrick brothers for 4 days down in Albany and did my background research for the novel. That was last October in my first of 4 months writing the book, and they introduced me to lots of people. Ken Bevel, who plays Nathan in the Courageous movie, mm-hmm. played Michael, I believe it was, in the Fireproof movie, and Ken's a great guy, and it's so funny going
Ken
to their
too.
Church. Going to their church on Sunday mornings and then seeing him sing in the choir, it just was. And actually, several other people from that person was in Flywheel and that one was in Faith Diets. Yeah, just the worship team. You know, several of the people that are
gives
up there.
Gives you whiplash looking around at everybody in the church, doesn't it?
It really does. Afterwards, I was going to some kind of luncheon they had for new members or something. I'm walking down the hall, and here's this person walking by himself, just gives me a big smile, and I go, okay, he was in whichever movie it was. And it's just so funny and also quite remarkable. I mean, going in with Stephen and Alex and seeing them doing the editing on the Courageous movie, and they would run a scene back. Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? And they ask my opinion, not that, you know, they probably took it very seriously, but I was flattered, and so I would say a few things. But one of the things that really struck me was how similar editing film is to editing a novel, because editing is editing. You want to keep in the best, and at the same time, you want to remove anything that doesn't further the plot, no matter how good it might be in and of itself.
You mentioned Ken Bevel a few moments ago. Ken has actually joined the staff of the church recently, having retired from the Marines after 20-plus years.
That's right. I heard that. He was a logistics guy or some kind of thing?
Boy, he looks the part, doesn't he? I mean,
he does.
He did all of his own stunts in the movie as well.
Yeah, and he's a physical specimen, and seeing him in a suit and tie at the church on the Sunday morning in the choir robe and all that, and then meeting with him later on and meeting his wife and children, and what a delight to be with that guy. And same thing with Stephen and Alex and the others.
I appreciate hearing your perspective after visiting the church. I've been there as well. I was on the set for some of the filming of Courageous for a few days, and you're right. These are just ordinary people that have placed themselves into God's hands, and they're making good movies, and everyone gets better than the one before, but I just appreciate their humble spirits and the way that they do their job with excellence and yet keep that humble spirit about them throughout the whole church, and it's just something to really admire. And the theme that they've chosen, and in this case, the theme is courageous or courage for men. Boy, they live this out themselves, don't they? You've seen that.
Absolutely. And certainly one of the things that struck me was the amount of prayer that surrounds this project. Not only the prayer they did as they were filming, but praying over the editing, praying over the marketing, praying over, you know, all these different aspects. And, of course, it's not only that God answers those prayers in terms of the quality of things, but also in terms of the impact. I mean, there are intangibles. I mean, when the Holy Spirit of God is at work, it's not a formula. And so I think calling upon Him to do a work of grace and the power of His Holy Spirit and to descend on people in theaters across the country and in homes around the world where it's seen on the DVDs, this is something that is going to be bearing fruit for years and years and decades and for eternity itself.
Well, let's get back to the book itself. This book, I don't think they could have chosen a better writer of this book, because this theme really resonates with you, doesn't it? This is one of those themes that you've been talking about for a long time.
Yeah, I think the whole area of courage and standing up, not only as dads, but as believers, male, female, young, old, in every walk of life, standing up for what matters, defending the rights of the poor and needy, taking care of those that God has entrusted to you, not giving your children over to the culture, but providing for them not a model of legalism, but of a real Christ-centered grace and truth approach to parenting and approach to living life.
Well, as the author, what are you hoping for the book? We know the movie will reach thousands and tens of thousands of people. What are you hoping for the book?
Well, I really believe, and certainly I hope and pray, that the courageous novel is going to have its own very distinctive place. There are a number of things related to this book. There are a couple of nonfiction projects, Resolution for Men, Resolution for Women. And there will be, you know, there's curriculum and there's all kinds of things. But this novel is unique in that it, like the movie, though it's a different media, it has in common that it's a story, and story has a power. Now, this is a story that's four times longer than the story that's in the movie, but it's the same story, just where you go deeper and you go broader and you have more subplots and you got more scenes and character development, conflict, and all of that. And as a result of that, I think it gives an opportunity for a certain kind of person, both believer and unbeliever, to immerse themselves in the story which captures the imagination. I write both nonfiction and fiction, and I see the distinct differences between the two. Both of them have their advantages, but in this case, when you're connecting with a movie that is itself a story, and a good story, then the novel has a great advantage in reaching people on that same story level. But instead of 2 hours in a theater, now they're going to have, depending on how quickly they read, it might take them 10 hours, it might take them 12 hours, it might take, you know, 3 or 4 nights, or it might take them a couple of weeks, depending on how often they read it. But they're going to get something that's going to immerse them in a world where they're going to see characters who, though they're fictional, they are true to life, and the things they face are true to life, and God brings much truth out of the experience of reading good fiction. It speaks to us and to our hearts in ways that nonfiction doesn't.
Do you think the time is ripe for men to receive this message of courageous?
I really do. I think there are a lot of men in this culture that are just waiting to be challenged. And honestly, whenever churches with their men's ministries, certainly that's been true in our church, where they've stood up and they've challenged men to be men, a lot of men step forward. But there are many churches in which there just needs to be some tool, there needs to be some vehicle, an instrument that can be used to make that challenge. This movie, Courageous, I believe, is not that instrument as if it's the only one, but it is a instrument that God can greatly use, and I expect him to do that very thing. Now, then it's going to be up to churches, of course, and small groups and men's ministries within churches to take the next step and to have men not just be challenged, not just have them rise up and say, yes, I am resolved, I'm going to do this thing, but then to help them actually follow through with that. That's the huge challenge. But I believe many churches and many men will rise to that challenge, and I believe it will make a profound difference.
Look at the culture in general and all the failings of men of late. This is something where Christian men need to step into the gap and show what the power of God at work in a man's life and what God can do.
Absolutely. I mean, we kind of have grown accustomed to the idea that men, go to the office or wherever it is that they work, and they come home and, you know, have a quick bite to eat, and often the family's not around, everybody's going their different ways, and the kids have athletics or they're going off with their friends, and then the guy, you know, props back in his recliner and just, you know, watches the news and then watches TV most of the evening, shuts it off, goes to bed, gets up the next day and repeats. And, you know, there is something higher that God has called us to be meaningfully, deliberately, purposefully involved in the lives of our wives, our children, our churches, our communities, where we invest and we mentor and we learn and we grow and we teach and we're examples and we give hands-on help and we talk and we listen. And one of the things that doesn't give anything away in the movie is the component of this teenage boy who's clearly emotionally detached from his dad, and his dad looks at them, and all the kid wants to do is play video games and go running. And it seems not to occur to the dad, well, maybe I need to do something he likes and go running with him. And in fact, that happens, and that is one of the things, and I developed that in much more detail in the novel, and even having sitting down and learning a few video games with his son, you know. Understand this. If this is wrong that your son is doing these things, he shouldn't be doing them. But if it's right and it's okay for him to do this, find out what that world is. Enter into his world. Before, and that kind of earns the right for you to expect him to enter back into your world of the spiritual things that you value and the goals that you have for him and his manhood and your own.
I got to say that my favorite scene in the whole movie, and I know that you write about it extensively in the book, and I can't wait to see that part of the story as you tell it, is a story of Javier in his new suit. A powerful, powerful scene. I first saw the scene a few months ago, and it stuck with me all this time because of its message.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and Javier, of course, is such a great character for this book because he brings a lot of the humor that's in the movie, and then I develop that humor a little bit more in the book, but I also take off on some of the humorous situations that Javi's involved in, and those humorous situations then set up the serious situations, such as the suit and how deeply touched he is in his heart and his wife and his children and all of this. And I think that there's humor is a dimension that I really developed in the book because, and it's something that's definitely in the movie, and Javier, who goes by Javi most of the time, Javi is just he's a beautiful example of that. And certainly, even though the movie doesn't try to make specific statements about racial issues, the fact that you have an African-American and that you have a Hispanic along with, you know, these white guys, just even without making a point of it, does demonstrate something in terms of the diversity of the body of Christ. And I developed those themes much more in the book, including Javier talking about his father and his father's influence on his life, and whereas the other guys have fathers that weren't there for them, Javier, and this is reflected just very briefly in the movie in a conversation that gave me the ability then to elaborate on that in the book, and I think that's one of the most satisfying things in the book for me.
Randy, just before I let you go, bring us up to date on Eternal Perspectives Ministries and tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah, Eternal Perspective Ministries is really a ministry that we started 20 years ago now, 21 years ago now, and yet 100% of the royalties from all of my books go to Christian ministries throughout the world, and by God's grace, over 5 million copies of the books have been sold, and that's been over $5 million, and maybe by now close considerably above that we've been able to give away to all of these different ministries and organizations. And we're at epm.org on the web, and I have a very active Facebook and Twitter account. So just, you know, go to Google and put in my name and Facebook to find the Facebook, my name and Twitter to find the Twitter, or go onto your Twitter, Facebook site, put in the name, and same thing with the web. If you forget the address, just put in Randy Alcorn, and it'll take you right to it.
All right. That's author and speaker Randy Alcorn, whose new book is Courageous, based on the screenplay by Alex and Stephen Kendrick, which is the movie Courageous. And Randy, I sure appreciate your time today. God bless you in all that you do, and looking forward to the next book coming out from you, the new one coming out soon.
Thanks very much, Wayne. Great to talk with you.
For Oasis Audio, I'm Wayne Shepherd.